This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
All right, guys, there is no more wiggle room, Chris Canty. It was, you know, we got to win game three, but we have another game to play with if we don't. No more. Yankees have their proverbial backs to the wall for a huge game four tonight.
Yeah, I didn't want to be here, Dave. I got a little bit of anxiety right now because now it's all dependent on Jordan Montgomery going out there and giving you a good start. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm a little on edge right now, to say the least. A little on edge.
I don't blame you. See, now this to me, Rick, would be the break glass. This to me would be the shatter glass in case of emergency.
First of all, Dave, why is there so much amusement in your voice and in Rick's voice? Like, I hear Rick cackling in the background. What is that about? Well, like, I thought we were supposed to support our teammates here.
It's a fair point.
You're being bad guys right now. It's not like we got a whole bunch to look forward to with fall sports in New York City.
Well, we have New York football.
New York football has been over with after the first 2 weeks of the regular season.
Yeah, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Speak for yourself, Chris. Speak for yourself. I don't care about your Giants. Joe Flacco. Just the kind of life. Just the kind of spark the New York Jets need.
Did you forget I played with Joe Flacco?
Well, of course he's going to play well because Adam Gase is going to bury Sam Darnold. You're going to see this unbelievable game plan that's going to highlight Joe Flacco.
Okay. Like I said, did you forget I played with Joe Flacco?
No, I remember.
Oh, okay. So like I said, New York football has been over with since the first 2 weeks of the regular season.
We've known that. We've had the New York football.
But Joe Flacco's got such an energetic personality.
Tell that to the pass rushers from the Cardinals.
He'll sing them show tunes as they turn the corner.
Oh, man. Yeah, New York sports is in trouble, Dave. I don't know what else you want to say.
No, let's get into the Yankees. I mean, last night they did not play a good baseball game by any stretch.
No, I mean, the starting pitching wasn't great. You want to call it the turning point. I mean, everyone's looking at the, you know, strike them out, throw them out, which still think, I mean, it's a 3-2 pitch. That strike two was the exact same pitch. The exact same pitch was called a strike in that at bat. I mean, you don't get the benefit of the call. And Kiermaier, I mean...
Oh, my God.
Guy hasn't hit a home run since September 1st off, guess who, Masahiro Tanaka. Mm-hmm. I mean, he makes you pay. But, I mean, for me, if we did this, I mean, to start the season, you know, your power ranking strength of the New York Yankees, it's the offense when healthy, the bullpen, and then the starting pitching. And, again, outside of Gerrit Cole, there were some question marks. Tanaka had a rough first start against Cleveland, and you want to, you know, explain it away with the rain and the wind and, you know, stopping and starting and everything else. He wasn't great. But that third inning was your opportunity to get to Charlie Morton.
Yep.
And the bases loaded with one out, and you only get one run.
Right, with your three hitters coming up. Yes.
You had the bases loaded with two outs. Now, I will say this, that strike one and strike two call on Voit, those were absolutely brutal.
Strike one, like, for sure. I thought strike two was a pretty good
pitch. Strike one was the one that was down.
Yep.
Yeah, that was the one that was down. The strike two one, I thought that was outside a little bit. But, I mean, it completely changes the at-bat. Then you get Voit trying to protect the zone. He grounds out the short. Like, it was just a situation where it completely changed the at-bat because of how the ump behind the plate is calling balls and strikes. And how many times have we talked about that in this series alone? Like, that's one of those things that Major League Baseball has got to get it cleaned up, man, because you're talking about team seasons being in the balance from missed calls. But, yeah, you're right, Rick. We had an opportunity in that third inning, and the fact that we didn't get more mileage out of that, like, I knew at that point, probably wasn't going to go our way last night. Just wasn't. And then the bottom of the order for the Rays just absolutely killed
destroyed
us.
You.
Kiermaier and Perez. I mean, you're talking about them combining for four hits, three for extra bases, two home runs, and six RBIs. Yeah, you just don't expect that to happen.
No, and the reality for the New York Yankees and their offense right now is the only reason these games have been close the last two games is because of Giancarlo Stanton. That's it.
That's right. Yeah. But last night wasn't close. I mean,
he's your offense right now. Stanton is your offense.
Which is amazing, because if I would have said to you, rank who you think could potentially carry the Yankees in the postseason offensively, Stanton would have probably been towards the bottom. So I give him a ton of credit. I mean, everything I've said about him, it looks to be wrong right now. And I don't know whether he's just a different player.
Well, you're wasting it, though. Unfortunately, you're wasting it.
You're wasting it, and I don't know whether the no fans helps him or what it is, but he's great right now. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Giancarlo Stanton is playing great baseball now.
Well, he's locked in, and here would be my question. At some point now, do you have to move him up in the lineup? Do you have to give him more opportunities? If you're Tampa right now, you don't let Giancarlo Stanton beat. You're going to pitch around him.
That's the one.
And if you do make a mistake, he's going to make you pay for it.
Yeah, but Torres has been bad, and I mean, Voit has been bad, and Judge for the most part
hasn't
been
great.
No, I mean, you're not getting production from any of these guys.
And you can say what you want. Again, we're running into the same problem with the New York Yankees. In the postseason, I get analytics and everything else, but this is a different animal. Is that your team is built to outslug their opponent. In over the last couple games, they haven't been able to do that. And I don't know if it was because, you know, you completely lost all momentum in the series when you decided to go with that Fakakta planet game two.
Yes.
I love your use of Fakakta, by the way.
Well, you know what it was? Honest to God. So you just beat the hell out of the Cy Young winner, Carrasco, and then you take advantage of Snell, who's also has won a Cy Young, right? So that's three straight games where your offense has been great. It'd be like, I was thinking about this morning, watching some of that game over again. It'd be like if in that Kansas City Patriots game, you got the Patriots with no Cam Newton, right? No Cam Newton. We already know what Kansas City's offense is capable of doing. We've already seen it in full display, what they did to the Ravens and everything else. We keep saying they're almost unstoppable. It'd be like Andy Reid devises a plan that on the opening kickoff, they're gonna attempt an onside kick. If I'm Pat Mahomes in the offense, what the hell are we trying to do here?
Yes. It was too cute is what it was.
Is it like the Bill O'Brien, let's go with the fake punt when we're up by three scores?
Exactly. That was exactly what it was.
And how'd that work out, right?
Yeah, what
in
are we
that
doing
game
here?
And in the future
you,
for him.
You could be talking about the same scenario. You could be talking about the same scenario. And I know Brian Cashman came out yesterday and said that he was in full support of Aaron Boone's decision to go with Davey Garcia as the opener and that he had 100% backing of the organization. All that stuff sounds good, but when the expectation is to compete for a championship and then you see a bonehead decision like that completely flip the momentum in a short series, like those are the types of things where you start talking about, you know, do we have the right people leading the organization? Like how can everybody throughout baseball unanimously come to the conclusion that was completely the wrong decision? Like Kay talked about it on the show yesterday. He said people around baseball have been reaching out to him all day just trying to figure out why the Yankees went with that decision with Davey Garcia and J-Hap, especially with J-Hap not being on board with it. Like how could you do something like that? It makes no sense. And now we're on the brink of elimination and we got to depend on Jordan Montgomery to come through for us.
Yep.
Which exactly is really right. Like saying we got to depend on our lineup to score a bunch of runs.
Which is true. But we said this earlier on in the series, in the season, and the Rays have no fear of the Yankees. Like I think they have risen to the challenge. I think they enjoy going up against the Yankees. I think they want the Yankees. They are not, because a lot of teams are fearful. Cleveland, in many ways, look kind of fearful, overwhelmed, overmatched. Rays are the opposite. They look like they welcome this challenge. They want the Yankees.
I mean, they've won 10 of 13 games against the Yankees. I don't know if that was the case after game one. But then, you know, all of a sudden you try the, you know, Davey Garcia opener followed by J-Hap, who's clearly not in on the plan. I mean, that for me is the biggest breakdown in the plan, is you already don't necessarily trust J-Hap, right? Like, J-Hap, he makes me nervous, I'm going to be honest, right? I don't think he's, at this point of his career, great. So why would you put him in a situation where you already don't trust him into a situation where he's clearly uncomfortable and hasn't bought into the plan and expect good things to happen? You can't. I don't expect good things to happen.
But let me ask you this, though, Rico. If that's the decision that the front office comes to based on the information, the analytics, isn't it the job of the manager to then sell the player on why this strategy is best for the team and why he should get on board with it?
Isn't that
a part of having Aaron Boone, somebody with a softer touch as opposed to Joe Girardi?
Well, I'm just asking. Chris, I love the soft touch. You know that. I love me and Robert Kraft. Me and Bob Kraft, we love the soft touch.
Walk right past it, Chris. Right? Don't even
But
walk.
Here's the thing. If you listen to Aaron Boone after game two, I don't know if he actually bought into the plan. So I would be hard. Like, it would be hard for me if I didn't buy into the plan to try to sell it to J-Hap and feel good about it.
Well, whether he bought into the plan or not, if that's what Brian Cashman wants to do, then that's what Aaron Boone has to sell. Otherwise, Aaron Boone shouldn't be the manager.
No, I understand what you're saying. I just don't know. Like, in that situation, I get, like, if you're looking strictly on paper, right, at numbers, it makes perfect sense. Like, J-Hap struggles in the first inning. I mean, you see it. It's on paper. He struggles in the first inning. If we bring in an opener to get through the top of the lineup, and then on top of it, trick Kevin Cash into believing that Davey Garcia is going to actually pitch, so he loads up on lefties, we're going to put J-Hap in the best position to have success. Okay, on paper, that looks good. But again, you take the analytics takes the human element out of it. If the guy I'm putting in that spot is pissed that he's in that spot and hasn't bought in, and is uncomfortable doing it, I mean, I don't care what the analytics tell you. You're not going to get the best result out of that. It's not going to happen.
No, and it also didn't faze the Rays. Not for a second where they're like, oh, my God. Kay was talking about it before the game. He thinks they're going to go to Montgomery in that situation. You think that Kevin Cash and the Rays had no idea? It's not like Jay Happ is Randy Johnson. He's not daunting as a lefty.
No, but I know, and again, I know that Jay Happ has done it. Like, Jay Happ did it last year. Davey Garcia is a starting pitcher. Like, you put him in a spot, too, where he's not used to being just an opener. That's that's no excuse to him, but clearly, I mean, it's his first postseason start. There's going to be nerves. So you weren't going to get his best in the first inning. Like, he's going to settle in. That's what most starting pitchers do. They settle in. You didn't give him a chance to settle in. I mean, who knows how good he could have been? You don't know. He could have had a great game, but you didn't give him the opportunity to do that. And then you put Jay Happ in a tough spot. I mean, it worked so well for the Yankees when they did it, when they've done it in the past, is because they got Chad Green was the opener.
Yeah, he's a relief pitcher. Yeah,
exactly,
that's what
right.
He
and then you brought guys in that were your middle relief guys that could give you length, that were used to coming out of the bullpen. Like that, they were used to doing that, and they could give you three or four innings. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. It was not your one game one.
You're messing with the psychology of your players in a pressure moment.
For no
reason.
Like,
we're talking about a postseason game. You're messing with the psychology of your players and for no reason. Because you could have went out there with either one as a starting pitcher, and you could make a justification for that. What you couldn't explain is what they did the other night.
Correct.
You can't explain what they did two nights ago. It makes absolutely no sense. And when Jay Happ gets out there on the mound, knowing that he wasn't on board with the plan, guess what? In terms of his psyche, he's got every excuse as to why he wouldn't succeed in that spot. Because the Yankees took him out of his routine, and we all know that professional athletes are creatures of habit. So it's almost like, well, if I go out here and fail, you know what? In my heart of hearts, it's not really on me. It's on the organization. They didn't put me in position to be successful. But guess what? The organization hasn't put me in position to be successful all year just because they don't want me to reach this innings threshold and for me to be able to get this option that I have coming to me next year. All of that stuff factors in, man. When you start talking about a player trusting the organization and being on board with whatever plan that the manager lays out, like the way that they have handled Jay Happ throughout the course of this season in that moment, you think Jay Happ wants to believe in what the Yankees organization is trying to sell him? Come on, man. I know as a player, I wouldn't.
No, what message is that? Yeah, but Dave, too. I mean, what message does that send to the rest of your team, though, too? I mean, you bludgeoned Cleveland. I mean, you did a hell of a job offensively against I mean, their ace. And now all of a sudden you're gonna have to, like, we have to have this plan to adjust to what? To Tampa's murderer's row of a lineup.
No,
I mean, they're a middle-of-the-road offensive team.
That's what you do if you're clearly the secondary team. Like, right? If you're out of desperation and you're not as good as them, you do those kind of things to try to even the playing field. That's not the situation here. The Yankees are at least as good as Tampa. Maybe they're not.
This reminded me of, we had a couple doozies too in my time with the Islanders. One of our game plans, we practiced this all week, was we're going to take one of our, and I love him. I mean, he was one of my closest friends on the team, but he was like a bottom pair defenseman, like a fifth or sixth defenseman. So we were going to dress seven, and then we were going to have him, our, you know, fifth or sixth defenseman, he was going to shadow Jaromir Jagr the entire game. So wherever Jaromir Jagr went, he would just follow him. Try to guess how that worked, though.
5 points.
it was a travesty, dude. We're sitting there in practice going, this is what we're doing? This is we're really gonna have just he's gonna just follow him around? Oh yeah, didn't work. Or the other time where we decided, this is how we're gonna attack Martin Brodeur. We're just gonna dump pucks in on Martin Brodeur, and then hopefully he forgets how to handle the hockey puck. And so every time we dumped it in, every time he break them out, every single time.
That one seems worse than the first one, though.
It was, that was equally as bad.
Just hoping that things will turn out because you hope that is even worse.
It's even worse.
Yeah. At least the first one, as dumb as it was, there was a plan in place.
No, this was the plan. No, they both plans.
No, but
we actually practiced it.
You can't hope that Martin Brodeur all of a sudden can't handle the puck.
Dave, our breakout in practice that entire week leading up to that game was the defenseman. They go either it's a control breakout, or they go D to D. He skates it up the ice and then just takes a full-on slap shot down the ice and tries to skip it in on Brodeur, and hopefully he can't handle it properly.
I love that.
That was
the
forecheck.
Game plan? We're hoping. We're hoping. By the way, I don't have to get to play this Titans-Bills game. Another Titans player has tested positive for coronavirus this morning. So
22 members of that organization.
Yeah.
22.
That's 23 now, it says.
Yeah, 23 since September 24th.
Wow.
It's bad. I mean, so what do you – now we know.
No, you can't, because now you got to keep it two more. Now it's got to be two more days.
Right. So, you can't play the game.
No. And here's, you know who got screwed in this whole thing? I'll tell you right now. Because this is, this, their plan right now, and I get it, it's COVID, and you got to be flexible with the plan and everything else. This is, in my opinion, the equivalent of what they did to the baseball GMs by not telling them that there'd be no days off at the deadline. Because you got to guarantee, I guarantee, if you know going in to this postseason that there's going to be no days off, that a lot more teams are active getting pitching.
I would agree.
We all agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about the Patriots? Like, if all of a sudden now this goes to, we're not going to have a Week 18, these games will just get, they'll just get canceled, and we'll go winning percentage. So you mean to tell me we flew day of game with guys who potentially could still have, could still be positive? We don't know yet. Turns out Stephon Gilmore had it.
Right.
We're going to fly day of game to Kansas City without Cam Newton and lose. And it's going to be held against us now that it's going to be winning percentage?
That's right. Because there's no big plan in place with the NFL. It's just, how do we get through today? How do we get
there's
through
no
this
way,
week?
There is no, Dave, there is no way Bill Belichick goes out of his way to play that game if he knows that the playoffs are going to be dictated by winning percentage.
Yeah, you're 100% right.
I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure in that situation. I mean, they played well, but I mean, you saw what Hoyer looked like.
He's terrible.
I mean, you know, day of game, you're flying in to play the Kansas City Chiefs in Canton. Right. No way.
And it didn't make sense just health-wise anyway. Like, Cam
Newton no sense.
Tested positive on Saturday. How can you play a game on Monday?
It made no sense.
No
especially
sense.
With the incubation period. Because they don't, because they're just trying to, like Candy said yesterday, head down and
that's
just
right.
try to plow through this thing.
That's right.
They're going to throw bodies at the problem. That's what the NFL is going to try to do. We're going to throw as many bodies at the problem as we possibly need to. Because you're still talking about a relatively small number of players that we players and personnel that we know are infected, right? You're talking about maybe 30 to 35 throughout the entire league that we know of. We're talking when you're thinking about, you know, the personnel tier one, tier two, you're talking about over 2,000 folks. So I guess the NFL is just saying, okay, we're just going to keep plowing through the schedule. And as long as we don't have any other teams that have a massive outbreak like we're seeing in Nashville, we'll be fine. And guess what? I think everybody else would go along with it just because everybody understands that this is going to be an unusual year and there are going to be some interruptions. But the bottom line is the bottom line, and that's all that matters to the NFL.
That's right.
Especially as they're trying to go through these negotiations with these media rights deals. Let's not forget about that as well, because that's in the backdrop to all of this. And right now, television networks are starved for live content just because of the disruption in the sports calendar. So this NFL season means a lot more than NFL seasons past for a lot of different reasons.
100%. All right, callers are lined up. 800-919-3776. We also want to hear from the Yankees a little bit. Aaron Boone, Aaron Judge, Stanton. Let's hear from, I mean, amazingly enough, the Yankees' best player right now, Giancarlo Stanton. He says, we know what we need to do moving forward here.
We know what we need to do. It's going to be a tough battle, but we know there's no other option. So we know what's in front of us, and that's all you can do. I mean, this what's happened has happened, and we know we need to get some wins.
Yep, at least two, and then move on. But you got to get a win tonight. Montgomery's got to give you a good outing. Oh, he has to. You can't go out there and not get a good outing from your starting pitcher. It's a huge
yeah, I mean,
start
that's not,
for him
but
tonight.
Listen,
huge.
That's not a question. Listen, that's not even a question. We realize that, too. But, I mean, also, I mean, Tanaka wasn't great, but
Chad Green.
Yeah, Chad Green can't come in and add to the problem.
Yeah.
And then Sessa the same way. I mean, those guys got to be shut down. That's what the Rays have been doing.
That's right. Look at their guy. Even Curtis came in last night and was good.
I mean, listen, as good as Morton was, he only pitched five innings. Yeah, I mean, you got into their bullpen. I mean, you had 12 outs on their bullpen. I should like your chances. But outside of Stanton right now, I mean, that's really been it.
They're a good baseball team. And
they're a well put together baseball team.
And they
team,
back yeah. down from no one. I mean, Perez, I don't know who Perez is, this backup catcher. And he was huge last night. And talk about football being a game of inches. Baseball's a game of inches. Some of these calls are right there. How about the first inning? Maybe it was the second, where LeMahieu was right on it. And he missed that ball in shallow.
I
right
thought he should have caught that. I thought
yeah,
he should have caught
right
that.
There. And they said like 50 times he's the tallest second baseman in all of baseball.
Yeah, but he's like, he's standing like where he jumped was right into the sun, and he's got his sunglasses on the top of his hat. Like, I don't know if the sun messed with him a little bit because it went from shadows into the sun.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But why have your sunglasses on as a prop? Put them on, would you please?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it didn't look like he timed his jump the right way.
He didn't time his jump right.
And then Judge made an unbelievable play in
that
the first.
That was amazing. Oh, my. First of all, when he hit the ball, I don't know if you guys felt like this, I thought it was gone.
Yeah, I did
like,
too.
The second he hit, I was like, that's gone. And then I saw Judge going back to make a play. I was like, make a play? He can't. And then he made the play. It was like, I mean, that was a sensational play, really.
But that's what, you know what, last night's game, what would aggravate me the most if I was a Yankees fan is, like, there are certain guys in a lineup. Like, the way, as you like to call him, a Rice Aroni is swinging the baseball bat.
He is something, huh?
No, don't, I mean, let him beat you.
No, but if he, like, if he does, like, if you, like the home run, like, Tanaka's trying to get the count. You can live with a solo home run because the guy's just, he's on fire. But to have, to your point, Dave, to have Kevin Kiermaier and Michael Perez dominate you the way that they, I mean, that was the Yankees Brett Rippon game is what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they, six RBIs for those two guys last night.
Right. And Kiermaier's done nothing.
Don't try to put the stink of your Jets on my Yankees.
But they spent,
please don't.
Here's the problem, though. They spent the entire time talking about how Kiermaier cannot get the ball off the ground. He can't do it.
He figured out a way in the fourth inning.
I know. And then he ripped a double down the right field line, too.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
They played a great game last night.
It's amazing, though, how quickly.
Do they play like that if we don't let them back in the series with that Fugazi move that they pulled in game two?
That will never go away, right?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
If you lose this series, you will never let that go.
No, Dave, because I look at that as a true turning point. Like, that was a true turning point. Like, they showed the stat on Get Up This Morning. Ever since they took Davey Garcia out after that first inning, the Rays have scored, 14 runs in 16 innings? From that moment, 14 runs. That's got to be looked at as the turning point if the Yankees lose this series.
Oh,
no?
I would agree with you.
I'm just thinking about what it could have been had Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman not cracked that door open for the Rays. Because there's that seed of doubt after game one. Maybe this is a different Yankees team. Maybe we're not who we thought we were in the regular season when we faced up against them. Like, you have that in place. And then you just kind of let them back in the series with that move.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Kevin Cash and the Rays are smiling. They were smiling ever since. When that moment happened, they were just smiling to themselves because they knew how it was going to go down. And I don't know that the Yankees can do anything to flip the momentum back into their favor. And they always say momentum is your next day's starting pitcher. Well, guess what? I don't have a whole lot of confidence that Jordan Montgomery is going to be capable of going out there and doing that tonight. I'm hoping that he gives me five innings of three-run ball or better. But, I mean, Dave, at a minimum, that's what it's going to take. And I don't know that he can do that in the postseason.
And then who do you trust? I mean, you trust Britton and you trust Chapman. And that might be it in your bullpen right now.
Well, at least they're well rested.
Oh, you know, Chapman, we haven't seen Chapman yet.
No Chapman yet. I mean, King was good last night.
I don't understand.
Listen, if you went into game two figuring, I don't love my options because we're going to save Tanaka for game three. We don't love our chances against Glass now just because he's a bad matchup for us. Why would you burn a starter in that situation? Why would you burn Happ in that situation? Either you let it ride with Davey Garcia, or if you want to get creative, use your bullpen guys. Like, if you want to go matchups, like, use your middle guys that give you length. Like, use Sessa, use King, use Nelson. Try to piece it together that way.
Nobody's fearful of Happ. Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. In fact, I would bet you that in that dugout, they're like, all right, here we go, guys.
They haven't seen Davey Garcia yet, though. That was the advantage. You haven't seen him. And the guy was amped up. You could clearly tell that that he couldn't control his fastball in the first inning. But you would imagine he was going to settle down. The secondary stuff was good. See how it goes. You can have a short leash. It's a bad plan because it was a definitive plan. It didn't matter how good Davey Garcia looked in the first inning. That was it. That's why the plan sucks. If he got out of the inning and if he had an immaculate inning, 1-2-3, 3 Ks, 9 pitches.
They would have taken him out.
They still were taking him out.
Yeah. He was out of the game.
How
they
dumb is that
the
sound?
Game.
That sounds ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And he wasn't bad. He allowed one home run to the hottest hitter in all of baseball right now. He was not bad in that first inning. You could tell he was amped
and
up.
It wasn't,
but he was fine.
Dave, and it was C.B. Buckner. I mean, that was if you watch that at bat over. C.B. Buckner was terrible at bat, calling balls and strikes. Awful.
He was
awful.
Brutal.
He's awful. I mean, he's embarrassing.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. All right, Yankee fans, they want to vent. Let's let them. 800-919-3776. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, lead us off. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Personally, I'm absolutely infuriated with the Yankees and what they're doing. I'm not going to put it on Boone. It's an organizational thing on what they're deciding to do with all this stuff. But
We have 27 championships. No other franchise in any sport has anything close to the success that the Yankees have. We haven't had a losing record since 1995. We have probably one of the deepest lineups in MLB history. Why are we getting cute? If the Yankees put the best lineup and their best possible pitcher out there and they do everything in their power to try to win and they lose, I can be able to sleep at night because, you know, weird COVID, 60-game season, Rays had our number all year. I can find ways to sleep at night if the Yankees lose this series. But if they're going to get cute and they're going to have nonsense and the whole Davey Garcia debacle, I'm going to freaking lose it. Like, this is infuriating.
Yeah, listen, I don't love your chances. If I'm being honest, I don't love your chances here.
Well, how could you?
You can't. I don't think you can. I just don't understand. Like, I mean, why you felt the need to, I can't say the word, Chris knows what I'm talking about, trick,
mm-hmm.
trick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Like, when you have the hammer at that point.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, it wasn't even like, what's the best way to explain this? Like, what Kevin Cash does, like for example, what he's going to do tonight, right? You're going to see Ryan Thompson.
Correct.
Who's used to opening, right? It's not like we're going to pitch Ryan Thompson because we hope that Aaron Boone is stupid and decides that he's going to load up his lineup with a bunch of lefties, and then we're going to take him out because that was – no, it was because Ryan Thompson is good. This is the spot he's good in.
Yeah, you're going to play your game.
And we trust him. We're going to play our game. And the Yankees, they got away from what they do. You know what? You're going against a team that pretty much invented the opener. You're going to outsmart the Rays? I mean, they had the second best record in Major League Baseball, and their payroll is $28 million. You didn't surprise them.
Oh, wow.
The reason why Kevin Cash, I think he was doing this, the reason why he said he was surprised is because that was something they probably threw around and was like, no, they can't do that. That's ridiculous. They won't do that. Oh, they did it. They did it.
Oh, they sure did. And that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. If you're a Yankees fan and you lose this series, 20 years from now, that'll be the, oh, yeah, the stupid Hap decision series. Yep. It will be. This will never go away.
Yeah, that'll live in infamy, Dave. That'll live in infamy.
Yep.
100%.
This will be the Jabba Chamberlain Midge series.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah, well, that's the point. That's 20 years ago. You look back, you're like, well, that was the Midge. This will be the what were they doing with their starting rotation?
Oh.
It's not over, though.
I mean, the loss of Paxton is huge. The loss of Tommy Canley's been huge too. No Severino. I mean, this is, but still, I mean, I didn't. Davey Garcia had shown me nothing. I know he doesn't have postseason experience, but again, I mean, that's like, well, you can't have this job because you don't have experience. Well, how can I get experience if you won't give me the job?
Right.
Like, he didn't show you, like, as far as how he would react in a big moment, he hasn't shown me anything to think that he wasn't gonna be able to handle the moment. Like, that was the thing we liked about him the most.
Yep.
Was how composed he was.
Yep.
They outsmarted themselves is what they did. I think we all agree with that.
Like, just give him a chance at least, man. Like, give me a comfortable Davey Garcia in his, you know, to start the game and see what he can do, as opposed to putting him in a tough spot because he's only opening in the first inning and then bringing in a guy who clearly hasn't bought in to what he's being asked to do in J-Hap.
Bad. But here we are, backs to the wall. Game 4, Montgomery on the mound tonight. You can hear the game right here, 7 o'clock on 98.7 ESPN. Now, today is Thursday, Rick, which means CMT is supposed to be on the docket, but we have the Great Buster only at 10:30. Are you going to want to push it back? Are you going to want to move it up? Are you going to want to not do it today? What's your thoughts on
it? It's really up to you, Dave.
Up to me?
Yeah, I mean, you're the one who drives this.
I mean, I enjoy CMT.
No, I know you enjoy it, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Buster Only's like one of our favorite.
No,
if
no,
not
no. I'm not
guest.
Saying Buster Only doesn't, you know, win a face-off with CMT. I'm just saying, do we still do it? Do we have, you know, finish with Buster by like 10:42 and then do a quick 5-minute CMT at the back?
Yeah, we can do whatever you want. I mean, CMT is ready to go. I mean, whenever you want to do it. Yeah, well,
is
yeah.
there some baseball encompassed into the CMT?
Of course,
there's
some baseball in the CMT. Nice. You know,
see,
it.
You're so.
I got to be honest with you guys. I'm feeling a little away about Buster Only right now. Just saying.
Why?
Well, he was on with the Premier Pirates yesterday. I just feel like, you know, if we're gonna have somebody on to talk about the state of the Yankees, I would like to think that Buster would have been able to join us too. But I'm just, you know,
But is that a Buster thing or is that more of a producer thing?
I don't know. When you put Buster and Preemie Pirates in the same sentence, it could get ugly. I mean, that's...
it's dangerous. It's dangerous to get in the middle of that.
That's a little bit dangerous, yeah. I do like Preemie Pirates, though, better than Premature Pirates. Preemie Pirates is actually better.
That's what they are. They're the Preemie Pirates. Stealing our guests at the drop of a hat.
Local meat being Preemie Pirates.
Yeah. Rex Ryan is now a regular on the show. They just stole him.
And by the way, speaking of Rex Ryan, was that K post with his feet? Was that for Rex Ryan? Have you seen that post yet?
No. Michael K posted something about Rex?
No, not about Rex, but it's a picture of like just his feet.
Oh, I did see that.
You saw that?
Michael's giant feet, yes.
Yeah, you're on the, yeah. Interesting.
I did see that. I don't know that was intended for Rex, no. I don't know.
Sure about
Maybe
that.
Maybe the Pirates can ask him next week.
Well, I thought that was his thirst. I mean, he said he was talking about doing a thirst trap. I thought that maybe that's who he was trying to trap.
Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Joe in Valley Stream. Joe, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing?
What's up, Joe?
I just want to say, you know, no disrespect to the K Show, but you guys are the best show on radio. That's a fact. It's not an opinion. My question to you guys is, I don't know if you saw in Game 2, after Hap let up that home run, did you see the body language of Aaron Hicks? Where he kind of dropped to his knees, put his head down. And do you guys think that was kind of a moment where the team kind of lost confidence in not only the organization, but just the overall game plan of how this series is supposed to go?
Yeah, I don't know if you could just point to one moment. I would just think that going into a series where, I mean, during the regular season, you were, you know, 2-8 against the Rays. And, I mean, Dave said it, Chris has said it. It doesn't feel like the Rays are scared of the New York Yankees. Then all of a sudden, you go into Game 1. I mean, you get a win against their ace, so you're feeling good about yourself. I mean, now all of a sudden, like, okay, you know, we're back to being the big, bad Yankees. And you decide to turn around in Game 2 with this, you know, Davey Garcia opener into Jay Happ, which, in my opinion, if I'm in the Tampa Bay Rays dugout, I'm saying, this team is scared of us. I mean, this team legitimately is worried about us. It would actually give me confidence if I was in the Rays.
Yeah, because that's like, that's what I'm saying, this is something that we feel like we got to do in order
exactly.
to give ourselves a chance.
So unnecessary.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I
so
see what
completely
you're saying.
Unnecessary.
When people start doing things out of character, it's like, okay, now we got them.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do that.
Nope. But
that's a
did.
Slap. I mean, in all honesty, too, that's a slap in Davey Garcia and Jay Happ's face. We don't trust either of you.
I don't know why they didn't trust Garcia, to be honest.
I don't get that, Dave, especially when you know all you're really looking for him is to give you five innings. Give me five decent innings. You know, 2-3-run ball, five innings, cool. We'll turn it over to the bullpen. If you can do that, we'll say you did your job in your first postseason start.
And it wasn't like you exhausted your bullpen in Game 1 either.
Exactly. Exactly. You didn't have to. Stanton made sure of that with the Grand Slam. You didn't have to worry about that. So... I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. You scratch your head. Marcelo in Brooklyn. Marcelo, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I really think that they botched that by doing the starter. I mean, they both weren't even on board. And then in the organization, it's just like no one really knew. The players didn't know what was going on. I just feel like it was a terrible decision. Now he gave Tampa Bay all momentum after taking Game 1.
Yeah, listen, momentum is tough in baseball just because it's usually depending on, you know, what you get from your starting pitcher. And, you know, you have the chance in the third inning. I mean, okay, but even going back to Game 2, you struck out 18 times. And yep. You want to blame C.B. Buckner or whatever. The team was built on its offense. You struck out 18 times, right? So, I mean, that's a huge issue. And then you went into last night's game. Yeah, you had Charlie Morton was on the ropes in the third inning. You had the bases loaded with one out with the guys that need to come through if this Yankees team is going to win games. Aaron Judge hit the sack fly. You reload the bases, and then, again, you can blame the umpire if you want, but Luke Voit grounds out to end the inning.
Right. Right. And you've had
right
your opportunities.
There.
Marcelo, thanks for the call. You've had your opportunities, and you can blame the umpires. You can blame the other team, but the truth is it's on you. I mean, Aaron Judge, first pitch, bases loaded. Morton can't throw a strike, and you get a run in, but you pop up. You pop out. Is that what you want in that at-bat?
No, I mean, that's where you're looking to break the game open.
Yes.
I mean, that's your opportunity. Like, Charlie Morton was struggling. He clearly in that inning was struggling.
He was so good, and then he lost it.
He lost it, and that's when you have to take advantage, and they didn't, and he settled back in. And unfortunately, you had to play in the fourth, where it looked like it should have been strike three, because the same exact pitch was called for strike two. It wasn't. So it wasn't a strike him out, throw him out, and it's a Kiermaier three-run home run.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the bottom. It was 8-9 to beat you last night.
It would have killed you.
Sure was.
And you got one guy going. Offensively, you got one guy going.
That's it. That's it.
And I think you honestly need to consider moving him up in the lineup.
Where would you move him to?
I would almost put him up at two.
Move him to two and move Judge down to where? To five?
I don't know if I move Judge down to five.
I mean, do you love Voit in the cleanup spot now? He doesn't look healthy.
No, he's not healthy. The only concern about moving... Thompson's not easy to hit. He's not. I mean, he's got a filthy... I mean, he's sidearm and throws that slider. It's for a right-handed hitter. It's tough, but I would like to get Stanton as many at-bats as possible. Because they're going to pitch around him, and if they make a mistake, he's crushing it right now.
He's great. I can't believe that he's the guy that's carrying your team offensively.
I would like to give him an opportunity early. Like, I would like to set the tone if we could in the first inning.
Right.
I trust that LeMahieu's going to give you a good at-bat,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully he ends up on base. So even if you move Stanton up to three.
Mm-hmm. At least you see him in the first inning. Hopefully,
I would like to see him in the first inning. Yeah,
I think I agree with that. I would get him out of that five spot. And I don't love Hicks in three, and I don't love Voit in four.
But the reason you got Hicks up there is because he's a switch hitter.
Yeah, Hicks
trying to play these games.
Yeah.
At some point, you just got to trust your guys.
And put your best guys in the best position.
Yeah, that's it.
And say, go do it. And if they don't, then you don't win.
Well, at least you can live with it. You know what I mean? Like, at least you could. Like, it's going to haunt. Like, that decision in game two is going to haunt you.
If you lose this series at all, it'll haunt forever. It really will.
Like, that is not something that Aaron Boone has played the game for way too long. Like, he's been in the game his entire life.
But we can't blame Boone for that, really.
I'm not blaming him. No, this is what I'm saying. I'm not blaming him. I almost feel bad for him. There's no way in his mind he thought that was going to be a good idea.
No.
As a former player.
Mm-mm.
Did anybody? No chance. Was there anybody that you heard of that when the Yankees made that move, they're like, oh, this is exactly what they need? Everyone was like, what are you doing?
No, but I mean, if you're a former player that's a manager, right? Like, you've been in situations like that where you've had these conversations with managers or GMs that you completely disagree with, but you just gotta suck it up.
You gotta bite the bullet, sure.
Could you imagine like him having been in that spot at some point in his career, being told by a manager or GM,
mm-hmm.
and knowing how he felt, that he's sitting in a room with Jay Happ explaining this plan and seeing how Jay Happ is reacting and thinking in his mind, oh, this is gonna turn out great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, as an organization, the Yankees don't believe in hot and cold streaks. They probably don't believe in the human element when factoring in the analytics. Like what happened on Tuesday to them is just saying, okay, this is a time where the analytics didn't bear themselves out, but we still feel confident in our approach. And I just look at the postseason as a completely different animal. Like, you can't depend on analytics to bail you out in these situations. You just
can't. Because hot can carry you in a short series.
Well, yeah, you can't tell me that Giancarlo Stanton isn't hot. He's hit six home runs in five games. So there is something to being hot, a player being locked in. And so, you know, if a player can be like that, the player can also be the opposite, and putting him in a role that he's uncomfortable with or unfamiliar with in a pressure-packed setting like a postseason game, it might not be the best idea. Might not be. I understand the reasons why they did it, the logic. I just disagree with, you know, trying to execute something like that in this moment. Like, that doesn't make sense. If you knew that this was a possibility, if you knew that this strategy was something that you were thinking about, why not tinker with it at the end of the regular season?
Why not? You got a guy who historically, when he's out of his routine, if he's not on regular rest, struggles.
Yeah.
So he's already going into a game with way more rest than normal. And now you're going to bring him out of the bullpen to pitch the second inning.
That's right. It just doesn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. It's never going to make sense. We could sit here and analyze who we're blue in the face. It will never be a
sense. But Dave, this is something that they came into the series thinking. Like, this wasn't something that they just planned right after game one and they won. They were like, okay, if this happens in game one and we actually get this win, this is what we're going to do in game two. So they actually sat down in a boardroom and talked about it and had this conversation and landed on this being the best idea.
It'll
for the
still
team.
Never make sense.
That ever. Makes no sense. It makes no sense.
It'll never make sense. I mean, you're talking about the series,
Dave. You're talking about a guy, right? Like, here's where analytics loses me. Do you believe at any point analytics told you that your favorite player, Randy or Rosarena?
Yeah.
Who's had, I mean, just so you know, 84 career at-bats, 84 career regular season at-bats would be hitting
what, bottom third?
Would be hitting 600 in the postseason?
No. Things happen. If you can't take the human element completely out of sports, it's ridiculous. There is momentum.
Which is exactly why when you're making the decision to hire a manager, you should at some point lean on the fact that your manager's actually been in these spots and played in big moments.
It's not baseball anymore, though.
And should know his players and how they're going to react in certain moments. That's the beauty of being a great manager or a great coach.
I'm just sitting there looking at a Rosarena's numbers in this series, man.
They're crazy.
And 12 at-bats, 8 hits, 1 walk, 3 home runs. He's only made 4 outs, guys. 4.
He's great. He's got
he does everything, too.
Yeah.
And he
runs
flies.
The base as well. Oh, my
he
God.
He flies. I mean, they're calling him the Cuban Mookie Betts.
So the Cardinals are watching this series with Luke Voit was their guy and a Rosarena was their guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Might want to do a little internal investigation.
Yeah, but
there
but
in
again,
St. Louis.
But Dave, and then look at I mean, remember at the time, me and you were losing our minds when they traded when the Rays traded Archer from Meadows in Glasnow,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, that's mm-hmm. the kind of move that the Mets need to make. Like those are the kind of moves. And now all of a sudden, I mean, you saw what Glasnow did. I mean, Meadows is a little bit banged up. I mean, but he's been an all-star. Is that when you all of a sudden when you go to a well-run organization that can like get the best out of you, you have success.
Yeah,
that's what the Rays
well
do,
run.
Man.
They, I mean, well run. They, I think it's fair to say, are the best run organization in baseball.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting too is I was listening to Kay yesterday talking about, you know, Moneyball and Billy Bean and everything else, saying that, you know, analytics will get you through 162, but then it's a different animal in the postseason. You got to give the Rays and Kevin Cash tons of credit because, I mean, they go by the book with the analytics. I mean, you saw a great play last night where they had the 4 outfielders, mm-hmm. and Kiermaier makes that play that you're only making if you have 4 outfielders. Is that they're able to adapt in the postseason. Like, they still do play with, I mean, he still does manage with a bit of a feel.
Well, you have to. You play your game. You can combine the two. You can be analytically driven and still, you know, manage for the hot hand, but you can't just go all in, tunnel vision, and it's analytics and be damned to everything
else. Well, he
else.
Didn't have
you
a,
can't
it,
do it.
Well, and he didn't, I don't think, in game two. There was no knee-jerk reaction to all of a sudden mm-hmm. seeing a left, Hap coming in.
Nope.
No, I think that the Rays have done it beautifully. I think the Yankees are the ones that have struggled with that.
And the way he's used his bullpen has been great.
What do I tell you about a plan that can't change, Rico?
It's a terrible plan.
It's a bad plan.
It's an awful plan.
And it's something that you said years ago when we first started doing the show, like managers have to feel the heartbeat of the game. And Kevin Cash has a good feel for that, especially with his guys. And it just seems like that's an area that the Yankees have to embrace and they have to improve on if they're ever going to – be able to get to where we want them to go, which is the World Series. Like, it's just you can't just rely on the numbers to get you out of the DS and the CS.
Uh-uh.
It's clearly something that's missing with this team. And we've seen it in the 3 postseasons prior, and I feel like it's playing out in front of our eyes yet again. At some point, something about your approach has to change.
Yeah, but at a certain point, too, you got to – I mean, this is – the reason why they say that you make your – I mean, you create your legacy in the postseason is because, you know, you get opportunities to, you know, sometimes – surprise people mm-hmm. or play above the X's and O's. Like, you had a perfect opportunity in game 2 to give Davey Garcia that opportunity. Like, see what the kid can do. You love his stuff. You love how he approaches, you know, pressure-packed situations. Gives you no reason to doubt him. And then you throw him out there and take him out after the first inning. And by the way, Kevin Cash was not lying when he was talking about having a stable.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of guys Ooh. Out there that don't not hate.
A bunch of them. Dude, Shane McClanahan.
Oh. You see that strikeout to Gardner? Oh.
Dude.
I don't know what he was thinking on that one he teed up for Gito. I don't know what he was thinking.
I think that was
right down Broadway.
Yeah, he was just – he's like, come hit me. But,
I
mean, yeah. filthy, 101.
Stuff. And there's one after the next.
Yeah. Well, no, and again, I mean, the way he uses them. And you'll see – I mean, you'll see an opener. You'll see Ryan Thompson tonight.
Yep.
But you know what the beauty of their bullpen is? Is that they're all kind of different. You know what I mean? Like everyone, like each one of his guys out of the bullpen, I mean, they all throw hard, but they all kind of have different looks. Like, you're getting a bunch of different looks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think Nicky Anderson is actually the best. He's filthy.
They got a bunch of guys that are filthy, dude.
I know. They really do. ESPN's Dana Rossini is reporting that the Bills-Titans game could go to Monday or Tuesday of next week, keeping it in week five, and that would push back the Bills-Chiefs Thursday night football game to next weekend. So I don't know if they swap another game into that spot or we don't have a Thursday night game next week, but this is all a mess, Chris, in the NFL right now.
Yeah, it's starting to get ugly, Dave, in terms of the logistics and moving things around. You just don't want the schedule to get too out of whack because, again, you're talking about guys that are trying to prepare to be at their best when it comes to game day. And NFL is different than, you know, the NBA or the MLS in that you're talking about guys truly being in harm's way. So when you start moving around the schedule, you start affecting the level of preparation, you have to be concerned a little bit about what's going on, the product on the field.
And you're already seeing a crazy number of injuries, too.
Insane.
Yeah.
With no real training camps or preseason and everything else. And by the way, if I'm – you got to clarify for me, too. Like, are we going – like, is there potential to do a winning percentage? Because I'm not going to bend over backwards to try to play these games with no preparation and practice if we're going to go winning percentage.
I don't think they know what they're doing.
That's I think – well, didn't Graziano say a couple of days ago when he came on with us that, yeah, they would go with winning percentage? Didn't he say that?
Could.
I think he actually said that as opposed to us saying we should have a week 18. He said, no, they would probably go to winning percentage first.
But they haven't come out and said we're going to go to winning percentage.
I would need to know that, canceled. Though. Like, you're going to spend that. I mean, the Titans are going to spend that much time away from the facility, and then all of a sudden, what?
Be ready to play a game?
Right.
Yeah, I don't see that
Monday? I mean, come on. It's completely unfair. And you have positive tests today. Why would you think there'd be no positive tests tomorrow?
I don't think you would.
Right? This isn't a perfect world if you have no more positive tests.
Again, I mean, let's call it what it is, Dave. I mean, was there, knowing the nature of COVID-19 and how long it could potentially take for you to test positive, there's no way that the Patriots should have been playing that game against Kansas City.
No.
And in fact, I don't think, at least me, I'll speak for myself, I didn't react appropriately. Like, there's no way they should have played that game. And I didn't really say that last week. You have your quarterback test positive on Saturday, and you're playing the game on Monday? That's not right.
And just think, if he tests positive and you're talking about them in the week of preparation leading up to that game, you know, he touches the football every single play.
Right.
So think about him handing the ball off, throwing the ball. You think they're not spreading it around on the team?
Well, they are.
I mean, the chances are it could, you know, somebody else could get infected, and that's exactly what happened with Stephon Gilmore. Now, they just happened to be going out to dinner, and that's how they believe they contracted it. But still, though, they shouldn't have been playing that game into – the NFL's protocols and the guidance that they've received from the league office. I don't understand how the Tennessee Titans weren't clear when the NFL shut down their facility that team personnel couldn't gather in masses to try to practice plays
and go over stuff. No,
like, why are you going
practices.
Offsite to a high school?
Bad.
That part makes no sense to me.
Really bad. All right, Andy and Merrick. Andy, you're up on 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
You're always the bright light.
I love
Andy.
It.
You always are.
I absolutely love it.
It's Thursday. We got some college football for you boys. I'm going to take you to a city I like to call the Dirty Burg, or perhaps you like Paris of Appalachia. It is the University of Pittsburgh, starting with Dan Marino. The great Dan Marino is number 2 in their career passing yards. Who's number 1?
I'm thinking here. Is it Alex Van Pelt? Could it be?
Most career passing yards?
For a Pittsburgh Panther QB.
Who's number 2?
Marino.
Marino, he said.
Marino's number 2.
When did this player play?
Is it Van Pelt?
It is Van Pelt.
Wow.
Very nicely done. The former
that out of the hat, Ricky.
That's Scotty's brother. Scotty's brother.
The great Tony Dorsett, of course, holds the school record for career rushing yards. Can you tell me who's number 2?
James Conner.
James Conner.
I know that much.
Way to come, CC.
I know that much.
This current NFL wide receiver holds the Panthers' record for career reception and career yards. Name
Tyler
him.
Boyd.
Yes, you did not fall into that Larry Fitzgerald trap.
No. I fall for no traps.
And finally, 99, bring it strong here. Which Pittsburgh Panther holds the career record for sacks?
Hugh Green.
Number 99, Hugh Green.
Nicely done.
Great job, guys. Hey, let's be careful out there and stay healthy, boys.
I am the smartest man alive!
And there we have it.
It just doesn't get old.
No, he's
terrific.
It does
not get old.
It's quick. It's in. It's out. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And we did well today, which puts everyone in a good mood.
No, we did good. No, we did good. That was nice. Here's the thing, though. And again, I mean, we've got to go to break. How much college information you have in your brain it astounds me every time.
Well, why?
I don't know how you retain that.
Hugh Green, I think, was second in the Heisman voting back in the early 80s.
I know, but we're talking about the early 80s. Like, you know, everything stays in your head. Like, me and Canty, out of necessity, like, have to drop some stuff to put new stuff in. You just, like, you're like a hoarder.
Because this is why. And Sherry yelled at me all the time. She's like, you remember Hugh Green's sack total, but you don't remember when Ben was a baby and you, right. Like, I don't remember the normal important stuff. You guys do. She's like, remember when his nose turned orange when he had too many sweet potatoes? I'm like, no.
Yeah, you're probably on the spectrum somewhere, yeah. I would imagine.
No, I have real issues.
Well, I mean, that's some
of the Rain Man of sports media.
He is. But there's a lot of geniuses like that. Speaking of sack totals, too. Ooh, Rocco, you kidding me?
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.